Hey, morning, everyone. Excited to be here. Happy to have you here. If you guys can, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6. We're going to be starting in verse 7 today. So Matthew 6, verse 7. And if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll have someone come around and give one to you. And if you have your cell phone out, please just turn that off and put it in your pocket. It'll just be 20, 30 minutes without it. I promise you will be definitely fine. As you're turning to Matthew 6, verse 7, I'm going to open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much that we can be here at church, just learning about and worshiping you. Father, I pray that you would just bless this time. I pray that you would help me just to speak well on what it means to pray to you. I pray that you would just open the ears, the eyes, and the hearts of those listening. In your name, amen. Well, guys, I know a lot of life is talking to people. There's people that talk well, and there's people that don't really talk well. Have you guys ever talked with someone, and they've talked for a couple minutes, and you say, I have absolutely no idea what you just said or what you meant? They're just long talkers. It's just on and on and on. Or someone who just uses big words that I feel like you're just trying to show me that you read the thesaurus this morning. That's a tongue twister right there. I was using as a bunch of big words as possible. Well, this week I was just Googling, what are some really complex ways to say something simple? So just to start us off here, I'm going to read just a couple statements, and then I just want to hear from you guys, what do you think the statement means? It's just two or three words, so it'll be really simple, and you can just yell it out. Our first one is, I find myself in complete and unequivocal alignment with the perspectives and declarations that you have so articulately presented, and I shall govern my subsequent actions in strict accordance therewith. Yeah, I understand, and that's easy. That's a bunch of words to say, sweet, I got it, dude. And our next one, I must respectfully request that you physically manipulate the hinged partition in such a manner that it completely obstructs the open aperture, thereby preventing any further ingress or egress. Yeah, thank you, James. It literally just means close the door. I could speak for 30 seconds, or I could just say, please close the door. That speaking that way isn't helpful. It's just make it clear, make it concise, make it so that the people that are listening to you understand. Just say it in a short and clear way. Well, today, we're going to be talking about a really important form of communication, and that's prayer. What is prayer? I think of a couple things that prayer isn't. Prayer isn't just saying as many words as I possibly can or using as many big words as I can think of to impress God. God doesn't care about that. And prayer is also not just a time when I come to God and I just give him a list of the things that I want. Jesus, I want school. I want money. I want a car. I want friends. I want to be popular. Prayer isn't just when I come and I just do my list of things that I want God to do for me. Our big idea today is that prayer is loving God and talking to him about life. Our big idea today is prayer is loving God and talking to him about life. When we get our slides up, at the bottom of our screen, each week we have the theme for the book of Matthew. And our theme is Jesus is the King of Israel in the entire world. Jesus didn't need Israel or the world's help in being king. Jesus just wanted them to recognize him as king. Prayer is one of the greatest ways that they could recognize Jesus as king 2,000 years ago, and it's still one of the best ways that we can recognize him as king today. Thinking about that, there are two ways that we do that in prayer. We're just going to split our big idea down the middle. One, we love God, and then two, we just talk to God about our life. Just speaking a little bit about love. Love is what we've been talking about the past couple months in the Sermon on the Mount. We've said multiple times, what I love shows where I'm going to spend eternity. If my life is consumed with just this world and having people think that I'm the best, well, that shows that this world is my home and I'm not going to spend eternity with God. If I show that I love God and my life is in heaven with him for all of eternity, then when I go home to be with the Lord, I am going to spend all of eternity with him. We've talked about that in a couple past sermons. Matthew 5, 43 through 48, just summarizing that entire sermon. We should love the world how God loves us. God isn't waiting for us to do something good. God isn't waiting for us just to be perfect. God comes and he loves us and he gives us everything we need before we even come to him. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Matthew 6, 1 through 6, about helping others, about praying. And we saw that we are supposed to help others because we love God in them. But we don't help others just so that I can get a reward. Remember, we talked about the person who's out feeding the homeless, but then you just realize they're just trying to take a photo so they can post that on social media and get likes or be popular. That's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. Both of those sermons can kind of just be summarized that God wants us to love him. Loving God is the most important thing in all of eternity. It's more important than who your family is. It's more important than where you go to school. It's more important than how much money you have or what car you drive or what job you do. Loving God is the most important thing in your life. But why should you love God? Why is that so important that if you want just kind of three quick reasons why you should love God? God is perfect. God cares for you personally, and God is preparing a place for you. I'll say those again, that God is perfect, God is personally caring for you, and God is preparing a place for you. Even if we just look at the last verse of Matthew 5, speaking of God being perfect, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Think about that. From eternity past, there was no start in that. God has never sinned. He has always done what is right. He has never had a bad thought. He's never done a bad deed. He's always been perfectly loving. That just for the reason that God is perfect, I should love him and I should want to worship him for that. But next, that God personally cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your worries on him because he cares for you. I love that, that he cares for you. God knows your name. He knows you individually. He knows your life. He knows your struggles. He knows what you're good at. He knows everything about you from the moment that you're born to the moment that you die. And he is working everything in your life for your betterment if you know and love him. That's a God that doesn't just sit back and wait for life to happen, that God is personally caring for you. And last on that, that God is preparing a place for you. In John 14:3, if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That Jesus didn't just die on the cross and then leave us. He said, I'm going back to heaven and I'm making a house for you. Therefore, when he comes back, you get to spend all of eternity with him. Why should we love God? There's infinite reasons, but a couple of those are that he's perfect, he's personally caring for you, and he's preparing a place for you. And if you love God, what is something that would just come natural? Like anyone that you like spending time with, anyone that you love, what do you want to do? You just want to talk with them. In the same way that you should just want to talk with God. In the same way that you would go to your parent or your best friend or a coach for whatever sports you play, and you would say, I'm thinking about this. I'm struggling with this. I think you want me to run this play this way. You just want to talk to them about what in your life is important to them or is important to you. In the same way that you should just want to go to God and say, God, I love you. God, these are the things that are important in my life. I just want to talk to you about what's important in my life. Our passage today is called the Lord's Prayer. I'm assuming almost everyone has heard the Lord's Prayer. Some have called it the Disciples' Prayer. But these aren't just words that Jesus wants us to say every single time we pray. Like when I pray, I don't just turn to Matthew chapter 6 and read the Lord's Prayer out loud. But these are guidelines he wants us to follow every time we do pray. These are things that he wants us to be thinking. These are emotions he wants us to be feeling. And these are just kind of like the bumper rails if you play bowling on the left and the right side to make sure that you're just going down the alleyway. In the same way that these are just things that God tells us, you need to be thinking these things, and you need to be feeling these things when you come to pray to me. With that, let's read our passage. Our passage today, Matthew 6, verses 7 through 15. And when you were praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Guys, we might not get through all of the Lord's Prayer today. Honestly, I've loved studying the Lord's Prayer so much, and I'm so excited to talk to you about what it means to pray. This might take 2 weeks, but we'll just start, and we'll see how far we get. Our first point is going to be in verse 7, that prayer is quality over quantity. And I was trying to think of an analogy for this, and this is probably going to miss way left field for you guys. I would rather have one really good cookie than 12 not great cookies. I would rather have one scoop of ice cream that's really, really good than 37 pixie sticks. And I know I'm talking to a room of junior hires that just want every single amount of sugar that you guys can possibly get. But in the same way, I think, hey, James, I like the affirmation. Thank you for that. In the same way, prayer is quality over quantity. It's not how much, it's how good is it. I think of when I was in seventh grade and our teacher said that we had to write a 3-page paper on anything that was exciting to us. And so I loved planes, and I chose one of the planes that I thought was the coolest, and that's the B-52 Stratofortress. I know you guys are all picturing that right now in your head. You know exactly what that is. Thanks, Rose. The B-52 is just a really big plane that was made in the 1950s, and it carries a bunch of bombs, and it can go anywhere in the world and do what it needs to do. And so I was so excited to write my 3-page paper that I spent the first half page just saying, these are all the reasons why I think this plane is the coolest. But then I kind of ran out of thoughts. And I was like, well, what do I do now for the last 2.5 pages? And so I just kind of started putting some weird sentences in there. I went on Google and I just looked up a couple random facts. And I took a 3-page paper and it maybe had half a page of what was really good. Sometimes prayer can be that same way. Lord, here's what I'm thinking. But then I feel like I just want to put a whole bunch of stuff on top of that just because I feel like it needs to be a certain length. I have to say certain words, or else you're not going to be happy or you're not going to hear me. Guys, I want you to know that prayer is not like that. God wants you to love him, not say a certain number of words. In our passage before, we've been talking about the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, people that weren't born in Israel, would go to their temples and they would say the same prayers over and over and over and over, sometimes for hours at a time. That I was looking up, like, what is the record for the longest prayer in Jesus' time? They think that someone prayed for 5 days straight. So that's sitting at the temple, not going to the bathroom, not eating anything, just sitting there saying that I'm going to pray to the Lord for 5 days straight. You can't have a good conversation for 5 days straight. You can have a short conversation or a long conversation, but saying I'm going to talk to God for 5 days straight, and by doing that, he's going to hear me more or he's going to value my words, that's not what God wants us to think. Prayer is personal time with God and should be the best part of your day. And I want you guys to know that prayer is the best time of my day. Prayer is when I go to God and I talk to him about what's most important to me. It's where I'm the most thankful. It's where I'm the happiest. It's where I think the clearest. And it's where the hard parts of my life are made really clear. When we go to Jesus, we should focus on speaking to him from our heart, not just saying things that we think our parents or other people want us to say. I was just thinking of, when do I pray to God throughout the day, and what do I normally say? Well, a lot of times when I wake up in the morning and before I even get out of bed, I just say a quick prayer. I just thank the Lord for the sleep he's given me, and I ask him for help throughout the day. Maybe I have a test, maybe I have to preach. I just might quickly, I'll thank God for that, and I'll ask him for help. I pray a lot as I'm driving to work, and I just pray about anything that I'm thinking about. It can be thanking the Lord. It can be something that I'm working through. It's sometimes that I confess sin. Lord, I know that you tell me to do this, my heart wants to do this. Like, please help me. Like, please bring me back to you. I pray for my family. I pray for friends. I pray for you guys by name, that as I'm talking to you guys on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and I think about that through the week, I think of, oh, Lord, I pray for this person in particular. I pray that you'd help them with school. I pray that you'd help them with their siblings. I pray that you would just help them grow in you. I'm praying for you guys by name throughout the week. At work, I'll just pray some more. I thank God for the things that he's doing and he allows me to be here. Last semester in seminary, I had a whole class on prayer where we had to pray an hour a day. And just, we talked about that. And I'm praying through the Lord even while I'm in class. I pray through the passage I'm preaching. I pray some more for people. When I'm driving home, I'll thank the Lord for everything that he's done during the day. And just say, Lord, thank you so much. There are so many things that could have been hard, and you helped me through all of those. When I get home at night, sometimes Katie and I will pray about the day of just, Lord, this is something that was hard. Lord, just thank you so much that this was something that could have been hard, but actually was really easy because you cared for us. We pray for our family. We pray for ourselves. We pray for the church. We pray for you guys. And I want you guys to know that all those times of prayer are the best times of my day. It's when I just get to go to my favorite person. I get to go to the Lord, and I just talk about what's on my heart. And there is no formula. There is no time. There is no, this is what that prayer looks like. It's just me going and talking to God. There isn't a place. There isn't a body position or a formula for what you have to say during your prayer. The Lord just wants you to care about it, and he wants you to mean it. We started off by saying, people that just use a bunch of words. Have you guys ever had someone that they're just saying a bunch of things to you, but you can really tell that they don't mean it? If you're asking for help and they say, yeah, I'll help you, but you can just tell they really don't want to help you. Or someone who says, yes, I'll do that. And you just think, oh, like, I don't think that person's going to help you, is going to help me. How do you guys like that? And I think the obvious answer is you don't like it. I don't like it. And nobody likes it. If you come and you pray to God and you're just doing that to him, what do you think God thinks about that? If you don't like it when someone is just wasting words with you, do you think that God likes it when you're wasting words with him? The obvious answer is no. So just go to God and talk to him about what is important. Not only does God want us to mean what we pray, he wants us also to understand that he already knows what we need and he's caring for us before we even pray. Our second point is God helps me even before I ask for help. I realize that's a little bit like weirdly phrased, but it's God isn't waiting for me to ask for help. He's giving me help before I even ask. And we can just think about that. Like, think about your mom and dad. Does your mom wait for you every single morning to ask for breakfast before she starts making breakfast? No. I heard it in school. Does your mom wait for you to say, hey, I need some clean clothes. Can you please help me with the laundry? Does she wait for that, or is she already helping you? Does your dad wait for you to tell him to go, to work before he gets up in the morning and goes to work? Does he wait for you before he pays the water bill or the electric bill or before he pays rent or the mortgage? We would say, no, like, my parents are thinking about what I need before I even ask it, and they're loving me in that way. In the same way, and even more so, God loves you and is helping you before you even ask him for help. I think of just a couple passages here. I think of Isaiah 65:24, and this is God speaking. And it will be that before they call, I will answer them. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Think about that, that before I even call out to God and asking for help, he's already given me the answer. Before I've even spoken the words, he has given me his response. Like, that's how much God loves me. Next, in Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The person that you're asking for help from and the person that says he's going to help you before you even ask isn't someone who's helpless. He isn't someone who's weak. It's the person who made everything in all of the universe, and he's holding it together. And yet, there's nothing too big or too small to bring to God. A couple weeks ago, AJ talked about this. Matthew 6:25 through 26. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as for what you will put on. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, they do not reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worthy than they?" God says even the smallest things in your life of just, "Lord, how will I have change to get a snack from the snack machine?" God has already thought about that. The biggest things in your life of, "Lord, like, what school am I going to go to? How am I going to love my parents and my siblings? What am I going to do? Who am I going to marry one day?" God is thinking about all of those things, and he's caring for you from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, and he just wants you to come and talk to him in prayer about that. A question for us of, do you do that in your life? If you recognize that I want to go talk to people in my life about what's important to me, do you recognize that you need to go talk to God about what's important in your life? If you say yes, like, that's really good. I'm encouraged to hear that. If you said no, that's not something I do, and that's not something I want to do, what do you think could change in your life if you did that? Remember, I told you, I said prayer helps me be the happiest. It helps me understand what's going on in my life the most, and it helps me love others so much better. If you're not doing that, those are all things that you're missing out. Go and do that. And so that's just briefly verses 7 and 8. Notice that that's not even talking about the Lord's Prayer. Those are things that God wants us to be thinking about even before we start praying. He wants us to think, don't use a bunch of words. Just come talk to me about what's important. And I want you to know that I love you so much that I'm already caring for you before you even ask. But Jesus goes even further, and he gives us the best example of prayer known as the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 through 13. The first half shows us how we should rejoice in God, and the second half is going to show us how we should ask for God's help. And I think today we're just going to look a little bit at verses 9 through 10. We're going to look at what does it mean to rejoice in God, verses 9 through 10. What is rejoicing in God? It's really simple. It's that we want the entire world to give God the praise he deserves. This is the world recognizing Jesus as king. From the youngest child to the oldest person, from the smallest group of friends to entire nations, we want everything and everyone to give praise to God. And let's just start in the first part, or sorry, we'll say the second part of verse 9. Our Father who is in heaven. I think there's so many good things that we can learn just from that line. Let's see what this verse tells us about us and God. Well, first, who gets to pray this prayer? Who is it for? And that's told to us by the word "our." This tells us who the prayer is for. This prayer and the blessings that come with it are for believers only. Jesus isn't talking to people who hate him. He's talking to people that love him and say that they want Jesus to be their king and their Lord. This prayer and the blessings that come is for believers only. If you don't want Jesus to be your Lord and King, there are none of the blessings that are going to be spoken about in the Lord's Prayer. None of those are for you. I don't know another way to say that. If you want God's blessings, you first have to recognize Jesus as your Lord and King. You have to look at Jesus and realize that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life because you couldn't live a perfect life. And to be in front of God for all of eternity, you have to be perfect. And then Jesus was mocked and made fun of, and he was put on a cross, and even in death, he was perfect. And when now God looks at those who believe in Jesus, he doesn't see your wicked life. He doesn't see all the sin that you've committed. He sees Christ's perfect life in death. And he says, because of what Christ has done for you and because you recognize him as your King and Lord, you can come spend eternity with me. If you want the Lord's Prayer to be for you, if you want to receive those blessings, you have to go to Jesus and you have to ask for him. You have to ask him to be your King. But if you are a Christian, every single thing that we get to talk about, all of these blessings are for you. So we've talked about who gets to pray this prayer. Who is the prayer towards? And that's by our next word, Father. Our Father. On this earth, your Father should be the strongest person who loves you the most, who helps you with every single problem that you have. Unfortunately, we don't all have that on this earth. If you're here today and you say, I don't have a father, or my father makes a lot of mistakes, I want you to know that you can look to Jesus, and he is your perfect father. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never make a mistake. He's going to be there every single time you need him. Like, even just remember what we talked about in verse 8. He's loving you and he's caring for you before you even think to ask the question. He's already given you the answer. I hope that encourages you today, that just God is your perfect father, even if you don't see one every single day on this earth. And if you're here and you have the blessing of having a really good father, I want you to know that you should be thankful for that. Your really good father on this earth was given to you just to show you a little bit of what God is doing for you in heaven every single day. Don't take that for granted. Be really, really thankful for that. And what's a way that you can show your thankfulness? Pray to God and just thank him for that. Go to God and talk to him and tell him, thank you so much. By calling God Father here, Jesus is showing that the God we pray to always loves us, will always hear us, always care for us, and will never leave us. How does that make you feel? That if you're a believer, like, that's the God you serve? I'm going to keep saying it again. That's the best thing in my life, that God is my Father and that he'll always be there for me. I'm excited about that. I want to talk to you guys every single week about that. I want us to have fun. I want us to play dodgeball. I want us to play flip the water bottle, whatever that's called. And I want us to have fun just talking about who God is and what he's done for us. And lastly, in our little section here, we've talked about who is this prayer for? It's ours. Who are we praying towards? It's towards our Father. And where is our Father? He's in heaven. God sits on his throne, seeing everything and ruling everything over all of existence. We'll go back to Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2. I lift my eyes up to the mountain, or just heaven. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The God that you worship, the God that you pray to who's up in heaven, he's not some old man who's really weak and sick, and he has a bunch of good thoughts, but he can't help you. Like, that is not God. He is up in heaven. He sees everything. He knows everything. There's nothing that is done without his knowledge. And that's the God that says, pray to me while I am in heaven because I care for you. That is, like, that line right there, that's the very first thing God wants us to be thinking about when we pray. It's not, Lord, I need this. It's, he just wants us to come to him and recognize how great he is. In the same way that, imagine if you had a problem and you went to go ask your parents, but you knew before you even asked that your parents couldn't help you with it. That's going to look a whole lot different than you going to your parents and you know that they have an answer. Like, you know they can solve your problems. You're going to go to them excited, and you're going to know that they're going to be able to help you. In that same way, when we pray to God, we need to go to him in knowing that he is powerful and he has everything that we need to help us. Our next point in verses 9 through 10, we're just going to speak a little bit about how God is praised. I think we'll just take one line here and then we'll call it a day. In verses 9 through 10, we get to see how God is praised. In our first line is in verse 9 is, hallowed be your name, which that kind of sounds weird for us in 2026. Another way you could say that is, God, I want your name to be holy. Another way that I could say that is, God, I want your name to be holy. And what does that mean for God's name to be holy? I know we hear the word holy or holiness a lot, but what does that mean? And I love what John MacArthur says, that that's simply to recognize that God is different from me, he's perfect, and I want to worship him for it. That God is not like me, I can't go to him, but yet he's perfect. And just simply because he's perfect and he loves me, I want to love him and just pray back to him. Think about if someone is playing a sport and their team is the league champs, or imagine the NFL team. Yeah, we'll say Dodgers. I like that. We're in Los Angeles. Imagine the Dodgers and the MLB, like, they won the championship. They are the best team in the world for the next year. just going and recognizing that they're the champions is all that I can do. I can't argue it. There's nothing I can say that changes it, but they also have a trophy, or they can also wear a baseball cap that shows, hey, like, not only was I the champion, this is something that shows I was the champion. And you should recognize what they've done because they are the champions. In the same way, God just wants you to come to him and recognize who he is. He doesn't need you to spend a bunch of time or say a bunch of fancy words. He just wants you in your heart to recognize that he's the king and he should be worshiped. God wants the first thing that we do when we come to him to be telling him about how great he is. He tells us to care more about him than anything that's going on in our life. And that's the question that we'll close on. Just when we pray, we should go to God and we should tell him, Lord, I want your name to be holy. Lord, I want the entire earth to see you as the king that you are. Is that something that you even think about today? Is that something that you've thought about in the last week, the last month, or even the last year? Have you thought about, I need to live today recognizing that God is perfect and that he's the best thing in the entire world? If not, guys, I would encourage you, make a little note and talk to your parents about that this week. Talk to your siblings. Talk to your friends. Talk to your small group leader after service, or talk to them on Wednesday. Recognizing that God is the most important thing in the entire world is the foundation of everything else that happens in my day. A little bit earlier in the sermon that I talked about just all the times that I pray throughout the day and the things that I ask God for help. I ask him for help with, Lord, how do I be a good husband? Lord, how do I be a good student? How can we make junior high fun? And just lists of on and on and on and on. But when I go to pray to God, I don't want to just give him a list of things that I need from him. I want him to know that I love him more than anything else. And this week, I hope that you guys can just remember that what we talked about just a little bit in the Lord's Prayer, and just remember that we need to go to God in prayer because we love him. And when we go to him, don't just ask for help. Tell him how great he is and tell him why you love him. And I hope that's the best part of your week, guys. I love it. And I hope you guys come to love it too. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much that we can just be here at church, that we can have fun. Father, thank you that we can play games. Thank you that we can eat. Thank you that we can eat snacks. Thank you that we can just have a ton of fun talking with each other. I pray, though, that our hearts would want to come to you in prayer. Father, I pray that it's just sometime today, sometime tomorrow or this week, just every student here, every staff member and myself will just come to you and just tell you in prayer how much we love you and why we love you. Father, thank you for this day. Pray that you keep us safe. In your name, amen.